The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, when I was in second grade, my teacher moved our desks around the classroom, and I was kind of always one of those students who liked to sit in the front of the room. I found myself in the very back of the classroom. One day in class, we were doing a penmanship exercise where she had written sentences on the board, and then we were to copy them down in our best handwriting on a piece of paper. Well, I was having trouble seeing the chalkboard from where I was sitting. And it just so happened that a new boy in our classroom, David Ebert, sat in the front. And I kind of liked David. And it just so happened that at recess that day, he told a group of us that he liked me the best. So, of course, I had to sneak up to the front of the classroom and stand right by David's desk so I could see the chalkboard, and then I'd go back to my desk and write it down, the sentence. So about the third time I did that, David looked at me and he smiled, and I smiled back, and he said, "Beth, you have a vision problem." I was flabbergasted that the new love of my life would suggest such a thing, and I said, "I do not." And he said, "Yes, you do. You probably haven't even really noticed it. If you can't see the chalkboard from the back of the classroom, you have a vision problem. You need glasses." "No, I don't," I said. He said, "It's no big deal. I had the same problem at the beginning of the school year. That's why I wear glasses now." Well, I was insulted. And I said the worst thing that my 7 or 8 year old mind could think of. I said, "Well, I don't want to marry you anymore." I showed him, didn't I? I didn't. No. Well, actually, he showed me, because it was probably about a month and a half later that I got my first pair of glasses, and I still wear corrective lenses today. So today we're talking about vision problems. No doubt you've seen the video that has surfaced recently from the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity at the University of Oklahoma. A group of students from this fraternity were on a bus going to a party, and they started chanting racist chants. As a result, this fraternity has been banned from the university. All the house members have had to move out, and the leaders of this chant have been expelled from the university. There have been quite a few protests that have been held on campus there, including the University of Oklahoma football team walking arm in arm, linked arm in arm across campus with their coach. They interviewed a number of students about the whole event, and one young female student said, "Progress is being made, but we still have a long way to go in eliminating racism." Soon after this all came out, there were two news commentators talking about this situation. And they were debating whether racism is getting worse or is it simply becoming more publicized. I don't remember who they were, even what, it doesn't matter what station they were with. But what I do remember what they said. One of them said, "You know, in day-to-day life, I just don't see racism like this." And the other person, the other commentator, paused, and he looked hard at his fair-skinned colleague, and he said, "That's because you don't have to. Because of who you are, you don't have to see it if you don't want to." That hit me, because name the injustice. Racism, any kind of sexism, hunger, domestic violence, homelessness. We may very well not even see it. Too often, it's because we don't have to see it if we don't want to. We can be in denial about our vision problems. In our gospel lesson for today, the Greeks came because they wanted to see Jesus. No doubt they had heard about the amazing things that he had done. His teachings, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, with everyone waving palm branches and singing Hosanna. They came to see this man. We don't know what they were looking for. They were just curious. They were hoping to see some sort of a sign for themselves. But what we do know is that Jesus is clear with them, and he's also clear with us. If we're going to see him fully, if we're going to see Jesus in all the fullness, in all his glory, we need to be looking with eyes wide open and see not only those miracles and stories of glory, but we also are to look at the cross. Because life with Jesus is more than spectacular signs. Life with Jesus is about serving others. He always identified with those who were suffering, with those who were being treated unjustly by society. Life with Jesus is all about sacrifice, about laying your life down for those who are typically unseen and outcast by society. This is where Jesus is found today. This brings us comfort when we're in times of need or when we feel outcast. But it also means that we as the church, as the people of God, when we go looking for Jesus, we may have to go and look in places we would rather not be. One Oklahoma student said that racism has been a problem on campus for a long time, but nobody wanted to see it. As disciples of Christ, we're called to keep our eyes and our hearts open. Open to see the evil in our world, to see the injustice, especially when we'd rather just look away. It's easy for us to feel powerless against these things and kind of give up even trying to do anything, because it might seem easier to just not notice. Yet we know that Jesus is among those unseen and unheard, those who are outcast, and that we're called to follow him there, and that we have to trust that with God, Even the impossible is possible. Part of looking to Jesus also means that we have to look at ourselves. Very rare is the person who can look in the mirror and see themselves, not just our physical appearance, but who we are as people, and be completely at peace. We're confronted with the reality of who we are versus who God calls us to be. Sometimes God calls us to change. Yes, God loves us. And sometimes we are called to change. To admit that we're not perfect. And that there are definitely things that are needing change in our society. Too often we're tempted and we give in to that temptation to look away and not fully live out what we believe, that we are all loved children of God. Today we gather because we also want to see Jesus. We want to experience that forgiveness that he offers us, and we want another chance. We long for the miracle of God's grace to transform us, to recreate us, for that love of God to be written on our hearts so we don't forget who we are and how we're supposed to live, so that we remember and live the words by heart, I will be your God and you will be my people. God is faithful to those promises, to these promises. Through baptism, we have died and we have been risen with Christ. We are a new creation. All that sin is washed away, and we're given a second chance. God gives us God's own eyes with which to see the world. Baptism, we are also called to service and anointed for ministry. To be people of vision, to be people of hope, people who have that love of God written on our hearts so that we live it out each and every day, people who reach out to others, especially those who are unseen and unnoticed, because we are all loved children of God. God has drawn us here today to see Jesus, to experience him in the water, in the word, in the meal, in one another. Jesus only asks us that we offer him our lives, that we open our eyes, that we open our hearts, and that we follow him. Amen.